Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Toyotas travel across states behind Fords, then this is the podcast for you. Shots fired. Welcome everybody. My name is Tyler. This is episode 184. 185 episodes of the Snail Trail 4x4 done in the bar, or 184 done, 185 starting, almost in the books here, man, and I have done them all, 185 plus, I don't know how many episodes we actually have. Actually, I lied, I think we have 207 total, just FYI.
Well, there's like 207 on the account because we have bonus episodes and the TTTTs and the snail shop talks.
Yeah. So that guy talking just now is a weirdo. But I'm Tyler. I drive a 4Runner. I take my dog on walks. I take my trash down to the curb sometimes. My trash cans for trash day, you know? I like playing with chainsaws and lighting things on fire. And joining me in studio is Jimmy. Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Nice.
I'm a little tired.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
We might be dragging a little bit here on this episode.
Yeah, well, maybe a hair. It was a long day yesterday, and I think we're now feeling the effects after a good dinner and some beverages, and I think it's going to be a fairly short episode, and we're going to go to bed. Well, thank you very much, ladies.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, out. We out.
We out.
Oh, man. No, this is going to be just kind of a recap. We are here in Moab.
Whoop, whoop.
Woody, 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 woot, woot. We got snowed on the way here. We'll get into that a little bit.
We got rained on the way here.
Really rained on the way here. I'm really glad I rolled up Kermit's windows, by the way.
Yeah, Bobcats as well. I checked when we were in Salt Lake City. I checked Bobcats windows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah, it was an adventure getting down here. Well, not really an adventure, but it was an adventure getting down here, or over here, I guess, from where we are typically normally.
Are you sure you can host?
I don't
right
know
now?
If I can do this. You should probably do this.
Oh, man. Well, let's just start off with saying a big, huge thanks to all of our patrons out there. Without you guys, we wouldn't be out here recording, getting some awesome interviews. We got one in the books today, hoping we can get some more in the next few days. And we are giving away on the Patreon account. Well, before we go there, the gift box tier is still open, so go check that out. Go sign up for the gift box tier.
It's like 15 more days.
If you want to get a gift from us in 6 months, you can get one.
Yep.
I'm excited for this gift box coming out. I think it's a really great one, and I've been jotting down ideas. I have a list
we're writing
of
them
ideas
down this time.
Already for the next one. So I'm super stoked for the next one that's coming out. And we haven't even got anything, but I'm excited for what the list looks like. So that is open. So make sure you go and check that out and sign up if you're interested. For the giveaway tier this month, we are giving away your choice. I like the way you put it on one of the last episodes. This time you get a choice of what you win.
Yeah.
You can win they're both a 90 tooth ratcheting wrench set, box and style, from Gear Wrench. And you can either have the 14 piece standards or the 16 piece metrics.
Yes, sir. That is correct. They are standard box and combination ratcheting wrenches. So they're not the flex heads. How many teeth are those? 90 teeth, you said.
90 tooth.
Nice.
Yep.
We could have used
four
one of
degrees
those
of arc. We could have used one of those today to stop a squeaky belt on Bobcat.
But,
we managed to figure out another route and got by with
a little help from my friends
with a pass-through gear wrench set and some other miscellaneous things that weren't gear wrench parts or tools. So that was a bonus. Do we have any reviews that we wanted to go over?
We do.
Do you have Wi-Fi? Is there Wi-Fi here?
There is Wi-Fi here. Oh, I forget what the password is.
Are you handing out the password, or are you
I need to go look
just
it
keeping
up.
It all to yourself keep so you going, have good keep downloads?
Keep going. Talk. Just keep talking about stuff. We do have a few reviews, a couple new ones here. We are up to 222 reviews. We have, let's see, where did we leave off? Oh, here we go. Jeanette Groh. This is a 5-star review from Jeanette Groh.
Hi, Jeanette. Thank you.
Great Jeep podcast.
I think she has us confused.
I think she's got us confused with somebody else. But yeah. Says every Jeep driver could learn a thing or two from these guys. They help you get the most out of your off-road experience. If you want to know what your vehicle needs to get you through the Rubicon time and time again, or what radio system is best to get help to you when things go into limp mode, listen to Tyler and Jimmy.
Yeah.
So apparently
the latter half of that was true.
Yeah. If you're ever going into limp mode, just listen to Tyler and Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And that fixes...
Yeah, well, correct your problem.
Yeah. Oh, man. Where's Greg when we need him? The next one, JCYT21High. JCYT221High? I don't know. JCYT21High. Can you guys come up with some easier names to say on these freaking reviews? Anyways, JCYT21High says, top notch. I have been listening to these guys since the Sierra 4x4 days, even though I drive one of their little brothers.
Samurai?
Yeah, Samurai. I get so much info that is useful. The playful banter that is thrown back and forth is amazing. Keep up the great stuff.
Thanks.
So thank you.
JT221High.
Nope. Try again.
Is it H-I or is it H-I-G-H?
H-I.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, hello. Hi. So, yeah. Hi, Mr. Samurai. So, yeah, that's a couple of the new ones that came in. So, yeah, we are now officially a Great Jeep podcast.
Woo.
Just like to put that out there. So, now. Not only are we the number one fastest off-road Toyota podcast in Tennessee and Sacramento and Lithuania and Estonia. But now we're a Great Jeep podcast.
Yeah.
So everybody, you've heard it here. Thank you. Thank you, studio audience. We brought them along with us here on this trip. So, yeah, we'll get a bunch more reviews that have been rolling in. So we'll read some more of those for you guys on another episode in the future.
What are we up to?
222.
Ooh, let's get to that 230 mark.
Let's get to 230, guys. Come on, let's get to 230. How about 230? 230, and anybody?
So what happens when we get to 500?
I don't remember. We're doing something with a winch.
Yeah.
We're blowing up a winch.
We could be winching something up into a tree.
We could do that. What are we going to winch into a tree?
Kermit.
A Kermit? Oh, okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah, so we'll be winching Kermit into a tree once we reach 500 reviews. So help us do that, everybody. We need help.
Lots of it, apparently.
Yeah, we do. We're going to be giving away a winch. Once we reach 500 reviews, we're going to be giving away a winch. So it is a sweet winch that's sitting in my garage.
Taking up space.
Taking up space.
So the faster you get to 500, the sooner somebody wins a winch.
Uh-huh. Not a winch.
Not a winch.
Okay.
And I almost
what
said
if I'd rather
that
win
because
a winch.
You did. And then Tyler gets his space back.
That works for me. I probably won't, though, because it's in my spare parts pile. And so it's the base of the spare parts pile.
So you're going to remove that, and then the whole pile's
going to
fall over.
It's just
going
to go all over the place, yeah. I might have to keep it. Hopefully we don't reach 500. So we got that going on. We got the giveaway for this month, which like we talked about earlier, you guys have a choice to. You got 15 more days to get in on that over at patreon.com/snailtrail4x4. And if you don't remember how to spell that, it's on our t-shirts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Too bad you can't see them.
No.
Because this is podcasting.
Yes. Good, but probably you can go over to the YouTube channel and about a third of the shirts I wear are one of those.
That's true. It's probably, I mean, and you could probably spell it from the YouTube channel too.
Say, if you can find the YouTube channel, you should be able to find the website or the Patreon account.
Or
if you find the website, I think there's a Patreon button at the top.
Oh, there you go. That'd be the easy way.
Yeah.
There's a Patreon link in the show notes as well. So in case anybody wanted to go over there and get on the gift box tier or sign up so that you make sure you're in the giveaway for this month, or figure out where the treasure hunt tokens are.
Ooh.
That is all done through the Patreon. So make sure you go check that out. Mm-hmm. We will be leaving. We have tokens with us.
Four
tokens with us here in Moab. So we'll be leaving them in random spots in Moab,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see who gets to them first.
I say we should leave one at this inside this B&B.
Inside, so someone has to get this Airbnb.
Yeah, that's super funny. It's like in an attic or something.
Right. Let's see if we can get the property owner to give us a rent back or something on it. what is our first grand prize for the treasure hunt?
Yeah, it's a master mechanic set. I think it's like 600 and something pieces.
It's a lot of pieces.
Master mechanic set from Gear Wrench. It includes everything for the most part.
Yeah.
And I can't technically say it includes everything, but it includes a shit ton of stuff.
Yes. That's the technical term for it.
Yeah, so. Which is close to everything, but not exactly everything. Yeah. I believe it has combination wrenches in it.
Winches.
Combination winches. It's got 1/4-inch, 3/8, 1/2-inch drive sockets and accessories like the ratchet and
like light bars.
Light bars, nice. And extensions is what I was looking for. It's got
it's only 8 p.m. Jimmy, what's wrong with us?
Yesterday was a long day, and
it was a long day.
We sort of been day drinking,
kind of. It's been an interesting day. So anyways, master mechanic set,
a lot of
grand
stuff.
Prize for the first person to spell out Snail Trail 4x4 from the tokens.
Yeah, and I think Trevor's in the lead.
Mm-hmm. I think he is in the lead. Unless some people that we've given tokens to never actually give them out or put them out, hide them, and they keep them themselves.
Yeah. Truck Norris, we're looking at you.
Mike.
is kind of shocking about how you told him what we were doing. You handed him tokens, and then he signed up for Patreon.
Right? I was kind of a little, I was like, huh, about this here, buddy.
Give me my tokens back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though he did hide one, and somebody found it.
He did, and someone found it right away. So, a dog found it, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool.
That was Trevor.
That was the dog is Trevor?
No. Well, the dog's owner is Trevor.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, the dog might be Trevor.
Might be Trevor, too.
That would be a little odd.
That'd be confusing.
Yeah. I've always wanted to name a dog here.
Here?
Yeah.
Here.
So I could go, here, stay.
Here's, wait, what?
Stay, here.
Stay here. Here, stay, what?
Stay.
We're moving on. All right, so we've got those goodies out of the way for the most part.
Okay.
We have something lined up for May for you guys already for the Patreon giveaway. So
what is it?
I'm not gonna let you know. We don't get to announce it until the last week of April, the first week of May.
I want to know.
Too bad.
Dang it.
Oh, you don't know yet? I thought I told you.
I think I know.
Okay. Let's go with that then.
I don't know what it is, but I think I know who it's from.
Ah, yes. That's probably what it is.
Yeah. Which doesn't help me out.
No, it's okay though. Because we're going to have to delete this episode. Can we just do a rerun for tomorrow?
We're going to put it onto Wheeling Wine and Whiskey's bonus episodes.
There we go. Yeah. we're just going to do that. Oh, I figured out why this is going all weird. Hold on. We're having technical difficulties. Play the elevator music. There we go. All right. All right. And we are back. So we got our technical difficulties settled up. Thank you, sir.
It doesn't matter. Never mind. Go on.
Okay. So... we have, leading up to this trip here, we both got extremely busy, right?
Yes.
Trying to get life situated so that we can be gone for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting. It was very interesting because
what have you been doing? Have you been creating havoc?
Somebody created havoc. It's what's kind of sucked is we went through tech inspection today, and the guy looks at me. He goes, "Hey, cool. So do you have a first aid kit?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't." And then I was like, "I'm pretty sure the guy behind me does, though." And he goes, "That's not helpful." And I was like, "Oh, but we're writing together this whole week." And he goes, "Okay." He goes, "All right, whatever." So, what about a?
Actually, I gave you one.
That's true. You did throw one at me. What?
I actually have two in here. So you threw survival wear, and then I have the expedition.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one?
Expedition Overland.
No,
that's a YouTube channel or TV show.
They have a discount code with us.
Oh my God, I'm blanking. We'll look it up. It's in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. aid kits.
There we go. You threw a first aid kit at me, and then the guy goes, "Hey, cool. What about a spare tire?" And I was like, "The guy behind me has a spare tire for me."
He goes, "How about a jack?
How about a okay? What about a high lifter bottle jack?" And I was like, "The guy behind me has those has a high lift for me." So why didn't I have anything, Jimmy? Why did I have to keep telling him that you're my keeper for the week?
Because the Forerunner got broken into.
Yeah. And if it was any other time, I would just be like, "Oh, fuck. All right, whatever. Like, it's just a bummer. Can't do anything about it. I checked with all the security cameras around my neighborhood. Nobody found anything suspicious." What really sucked about it is that it happened 5 days before leaving for Moab. 6 days before leaving for Moab here. So all my trail tools, my bottle jack, my first aid kit was taken.
One slipper,
which is just a fuck you move, right? Right. Like, come on, you guys, assholes. But they left my jacket again, which is great.
The gear wrench one?
No, my colorful jacket that you and Jason love.
Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, so they left that. So it's now been through.
I'm just going to hire somebody to steal
it. Put it out on Craigslist. Put a hit on my jacket.
Yeah, $100 if you can get this jacket from Tyler.
Yeah. So it was just kind of one of those things. I was like, "Come on, guys, you couldn't have waited 2 weeks. Like, that would have been super nice." They took my welding leads for the premiere, so I had to call up Premiere, and they were super awesome about putting together some welding leads for me and getting them out the door right away. I sent to them a label for an overnight shipping, and I had them with plenty of time, which was phenomenal. But that also, I just meant I'd planned every single day up until leaving with getting shit done so that I could be gone for a week. And so I didn't have any time to go through the Forerunner and see what was missing, what I needed for the trip or anything. I was just like, "You know what, Jimmy, between you and my dad, hopefully we have all the tools that I might need. And I'll bring a bunch of welding supplies and I'll take care of that. And hopefully we don't need any of it. But between the three of us, we should be able to take care of at least one rig." So
most likely.
And that worked out. And that's the benefit of wheeling with your buddies.
Yeah.
Is that you can kind of plan on doing that in pinches, or if you go out with them only all the time, like Mike and Max do, you can depend on each other and kind of just divvy up what stuff you guys are taking out. So that's how we strategized up here for Moab
for the most
for
part,
the week, kind of. And it worked out through tech inspection.
Barely. I think the e-brake was more of the issue that almost got us kicked out of camp inspection.
Yeah.
Like, not that's, and yeah, I don't quite get, like, I've never had a situation when I need to have an e-brake.
I haven't either. What I really think it comes down to is that the insurance for the event, the insurance claims that if the car is, it's a registered vehicle that drives on the street, it needs to be able to have everything that the DOT, the Department of Transportation, or whatever requires vehicles to have, maybe. And so that's why, because every single event that I've kind of been to, like, they're just kind of like, they just look at you like, you don't have a parking brake, really? And I'm like, yeah, I don't have a parking brake.
Yeah.
I was like, parking brake. When I did have a parking brake, it didn't hold for shit. Right. So, like,
I have big tires now.
Yeah. So they,
my ratio is different.
Exactly. I did tell the guy that I had a four inch,
4x4s.
4x4s that I use as parking brakes. And he just kind of laughed at me. And I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. So anyways, they let us through. I was like, I've got dual cases. I just put that thing into low if I'm parked anywhere, and it doesn't go anywhere. Like, it holds better than a parking brake does. So yeah. I trust my drivetrain in low much more than I trust a parking brake. Right. So
that, or it's going to roll backwards and start itself.
Yeah, one or the other. So that was interesting. And then they kind of just they rolled their eyes at my front blinkers, but
which are like little motorcycle blinkers.
they don't do shit in the daytime. They're like tucked up behind my bumper, so you kind of have to like move around to the side to see them. And the guy looked at the guy that's overseeing the tech inspections. He goes, does that count? And the guy goes, it's blinking. Yeah. I was like, all right, thanks.
Yeah, that was funny.
Anyway, so that was fun. We had a good time getting through there, and we got some interesting looks because I didn't really have anything. So
I think we also got some interesting looks because a lot of the rigs are, well, one, they're Land Cruisers.
A lot of them are all Land Cruiser event,
mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we kind of are one of the only crawlers, mm-hmm. like rock crawler people out here.
I think I've seen at the event, like, because we hung out at the registration mm-hmm. area all day long. I think I saw two other rock crawlers, like built for rock crawling, like what we do. Maybe three, but yeah,
exactly.
And then us three roll in,
right?
My dad with his new 40-inch tires and his first-gen Tacoma four-door, and then me in Kermit with the 3950s, and then you and Bobcat with the 37s. We all, three of us, have a foot of ground clearance more than everybody almost. Else there.
Yeah,
that they've been looking crazy. At all day.
I mean, so. Brian has a crawler,
mm-hmm.
And then there was that first-gen
the pickup. Josh, that was with Brian.
Well, Josh. I wouldn't classify Josh as a crawler.
You wouldn't classify him as a crawler. Okay,
I don't know. The first gen. That's like, is it on 35s?
The pickup.
Yeah,
I think so.
With like maybe a long 34. Travel uh-huh. independent front and stock rear springs with a flat truck bed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd classify it as a crawler. He does have a 4.7. He has one T case with a 4.7 in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a hybrid or something. It's like a Moab crawler.
Okay.
I was talking about the beige one that had the Treps.
Oh, the yeah.
First-gen 4Runner. Mm-hmm.
The two first-gen 4Runners, the red one and the beige one, yeah.
Yeah, that red one, that got that owner of that one, we need to interview. He's been to every single Cruise Moab event.
Uh-huh.
I think that'd be fun to get that guy on the
I think he would mic. Be fun. He's the guy that was like, well, it's blinking.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back farther. So
yes.
When did the vehicle get broken into?
I want to say it was either Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I forget now. Okay. All my days kind of blended together from last week.
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
I want to say it was Wednesday night.
Maybe. And then Hustle Nuts came over on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and you came over on Thursday.
I came over on Thursday. Yep.
And you worked on the laser.
Mm-hmm.
Hustle Nuts and I put the bed together for Bobcat. We mm-hmm. finished that. I welded it up. We pop riveted the bracket back on,
mm-hmm.
and then we welded it up with some braces and some half inch. Plate,
mm-hmm.
and then we welded on the opposite side. I welded on a washer to kind mm-hmm. of level it out a little bit.
Okay,
and then the truck was way off whack for some. Like, I think just things weren't. Now that we're trying to bend things back,
uh-huh.
you know, it just wasn't right. And so we actually, because I do have 2-inch body spacers,
mm-hmm.
and so I just chopped one of the body spacers down about 3/8, 5/8 of an inch. 5/8 of an inch, I think. And then we just ratchet strapped it down so that the bolt would fit through, get to the threads, and then just bolted it. You know, but I needed to bend the bed down a little bit to get it to fit or to get the threads of the bolts on. And so that finished the bed up for the most part. And then Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Thursday my panels arrived.
Yeah.
Friday I had a few hours to etch panels.
Uh-huh.
So I could get them out because I was like 20 back ordered.
Yeah.
Which is a lot for me. And then Friday we drove down to Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a wonderful time down there with them.
It was a lot of time.
It was a
good time though.
Whiskey.
It was a lot of drinking. I didn't have that much. I had I had some wine with dinner and some whiskey. I'm still not sure what Jason made me. But he made me something. He goes, "How is it? How does this taste?" And I was like, need some cinnamon in it. And he goes, "Get out. Leave. Get out of here."
Which that episode, I listened to it on mm-hmm. the way here. You had a partner in your truck and didn't want to incriminate yourself or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is a shit show and hilarious.
Okay.
Mike Austin said that it is up there. It's on par with, I think it was Mike that said it. It was on par with the Las Vegas episode.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, but it was a lot of fun. They had some great, Mike was on it.
It probably should have been split into three episodes like the Las Vegas episode. It was
3 hours and 18 minutes or something.
Wow.
12 minutes. Yeah. Mike from the Mike and Mike's Off-Road Podcast was on it. Amber Turner was on mm-hmm. it.
Kevin Jones
was on it. Mm-hmm. Dirtbag Johnny was there. Mm-hmm. It was a fun time. We had a fun time down there. We ate beforehand, which is what I think saved my life.
yeah.
I had like a 3-day hangover after that. I don't think I've ever had that before.
Jeez. You handled it pretty well at the end of the night when we left, when you and I left. Jason was falling over.
Oh yeah!
Like you two were standing there, kind of talking, and he was like,
"Oh yeah,"
swaying around, and you just reached out and pushed him on the chest, and he almost fell over flat backwards. It was really funny to watch.
Sorry, Jason. Yeah, I was totally sober.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we got home at like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I was intending to drive back to my place. But I was not in any shape to do so. So I crashed on your couch,
mm-hmm.
drove back to my house the next morning, fell asleep for 2 more hours. and then I started going through Clifford mm-hmm. and Bobcat, and getting for
everything
my Moab.
Packed and figure out what's in there, what you need to have in
pack.
There. Yeah.
I was checking fluids, mm-hmm. checking bolts. Mm-hmm. I checked all the fluids on Clifford. Checked all the fluids on levels on Bobcat. The one thing I didn't do that I sort of regret, but it's not going to be like catastrophic, is I wanted to change the rear diff fluid on Clifford.
Oh.
But I didn't get to it. So, I'll do it.
I need to do that on the Ford.
Yeah.
For sure. My rear diff is, it's not leaking, but like you could tell like the bottom side of it is wet.
Mm.
So it's just seeping kind of thing. So I need to pull that all apart, drain it, and put a new gasket.
Bobcat for you.
Yeah. seeping, seepage.
The whole thing. Bobcat's oil was low, so I just decided to change the oil, mm-hmm. So that takes a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I did something else to the trailer, but I don't remember. I did check the bearings on one spot, and they looked... On the wheel that wasn't looking good, I checked the bearings, mm-hmm. and the bearings looked good. So I just repacked everything, and I think that one was just overpacked with grease because the guy, mm-hmm. like the previous owner, like just filled the whole entire hub as full as you possibly can.
Yeah,
and so I think it was overpacked.
Trying to get out a pilot bearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so once the bad wheel looked good on the inside, I really didn't worry about the other ones and just put it all back together.
Nice.
And then what did we do? Sunday for me was
went to Hussman's in the morning.
We went to Hussman's in mm-hmm. the morning. I went on a bike ride with the fiance.
Uh-huh.
And the little one. And then and then I went back to my house and I did some more work. I can't remember what. And then I had a birthday party. So I was like half my day was gone again.
Yeah.
So and then Monday came around.
Uh-huh.
And I had a haircut appointment.
I noticed.
Yep.
Thanks. You look very dapper.
Oh, gracias. I had a haircut appointment. Uh-huh. And then I had my first COVID shot.
Okay.
And so there went half the day.
Yeah.
And I still have yet to pack for Moab.
Uh-huh. I was right there with you.
And then I was like freaking out. And then it didn't really actually take me that long. I think that I've kind of got this a good system in place with totes and an understanding of what I need to carry with me. And it only took me like 3 to 4 hours to kind of pack.
Similar story here, except that was just because I didn't have anything to pack in the 4Runner. But
that everything that they took out of the 4Runner would have already been in there.
Yeah. So really all I needed to pack was I had to load the 4Runner on the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go get the trailer. That was Monday evening. Let's back up a little. After we got back from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, we got back at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. And you were up at like 6 a.m.
I was up at 6 because I had to go and get out as many Morflate orders as I could before leaving. My goal was 100 orders, to get out 100 orders before leaving.
Yeah.
I think we got about 75 to 80 orders out. So the secretary came with me and we worked from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. something like that on Saturday, and got done about 75 to 80 orders. And then Saturday night, we just passed out. I was dead.
Sure.
I think I passed out at like 7:30 p.m. right when we got home. Like, I think I showered. I don't remember having dinner. I think we had leftovers. And then passed out 7:30 or something. And then Sunday came around and we had to get up and go over to Hessman's because we're going to sit there and talk about his buggy. And because he has his Spider Tracks axles, everything in. He's got the third members now.
Yep.
And so now he's got to kind of measure everything and figure out what his WMS is going to be so he can then measure, order his axle shafts.
Yeah. And he wanted to, he just wanted to brainstorm, you know, and look things over and see if we saw something that he was, you know, not seeing, or if we would bring up other ideas that he just wasn't thinking about.
Is extremely cute that he asked us to help him with that. I was like, you're asking us for that? Okay.
Well, I agree. And I think he knows what, you know, how to do it and everything. But, you know, sometimes just having another pair of eyes on something brings up a whole nother idea that you might not have thought about.
I found for me, it's just more helpful letting me talk to somebody about it, even if that person's just going to sit there and nod and go the whole time. It just helps like put things together in your head for some reason. So, yeah. Fuck you. So we got to go over and check out the buggy, look at the front end to kind of see what clearances are looking like and hear his plan and say, okay, yeah, but what about your clearances here? Your clearances here. Have you thought about the clearances here? You know, what about packaging this? Where are you going to put these brackets? How are you going to situate this bracket? What are you doing for the steering? Where are you placing that? And so just kind of being able to sit there and kind of look at all and just kind of ask him questions about what his plan was neat to see. Again, just seeing how that guy's mind works, as how he views things and kind of works things out in his head. You're just like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after you left, we got to play with some of Hessman's rod.
Yeah.
It was,
You burnt his rod.
I burnt his rod.
You melted his rod.
Yep. And I made a mess with his rod. And then...
Did it spatter?
It did. And it kind of went all over the place, and then we had to like clear it off, and then it just had a big mess on the ground, and then his rod was spent, and so we had to pull my rod out and do the same thing on my rod.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And so
whose tools were you using?
Both. So really? Most of it was his tools, and then after a while, we were just like, hey, if you're going to be going to Moab, you need to know how to use your tool.
Yeah.
And so we pulled my tool out.
So you played with Kermit.
And so I played with Kermit and put my tool into Kermit and then played with my rod there. So it was a, it worked. Tool to Kermit.
All right. What? That was too far.
That was too far. Come on.
That was a good one. That got me.
So, yeah, I went over to Husband's and we were over there. After you left, we got to learn how to stick weld.
Yeah.
So we pulled out his TIG welder and hooked up his stick leads to it and played with some 7018 rod, cool. Which is nice and just kind of works on a lot of different things. So, yeah, we just kind of ran a couple beads with it, and then I brought a bunch of angle iron. So, you know, throw a bunch of angle iron together, you get a ton of running surface area to weld stuff together. And so I had fun with it. I thought it was more fun than MIG welding, or G-maw, I should say. Oh, geez. G-mawing.
Yeah.
And, but I struggled striking the rod.
Really?
And getting it going. Yeah. Mm. And so everybody that I kind of like, I did a bunch of research before going over here, 'cause I was like, I don't want to look like a jackass trying to do this. And so everywhere that I had read was like, you need to kind of strike it like a match. And that's how you want to get the rod struck and going. Right.
Okay.
And totally not what you want to do, by the way.
Oh, so what do you want?
It's almost too quick. It's hard to control your movements if you're trying to think of it like striking like a match, because with a match you depend on friction to light it, right? So you need to have a lot of friction, so a quick movement to strike a match. This, I finally got to the point where I figured out I was moving it too quickly just to get it going.
Okay.
Because I was trying to strike it like a match, right? Yeah. So once I kind of figured that out, things got a lot easier, but once I got the rod going, it was for the most part fine. I had a couple of little things where like I was standing looking directly down the rod rather than looking from the side to see where I was welding. At one point I was like, I can't see where I'm welding. He goes, well then move, you dumbass. I was like, oh, that makes sense. So we did that for a while, and then we hooked up the Premier, because I hadn't actually welded with the Premier before or had that Premier weld at all.
Yeah.
So we hooked it up and did some welding with it, or I tried to, and I could not get it struck and going with the Premier.
Really?
And so Hussman goes, here, let me try it. And so he goes, walks right up. Yeah, just fine. I was like, okay, so it's working. It's definitely me. And so finally I got it struck and going. And that was kind of just cool. Just to be able to weld right off of your vehicle. But yeah, so I got my first kind of official stick welding lesson Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, we went up to drop off a couple of the animals at the in-laws.
Can I pause you for a second?
Sure.
So Hustle Nuts mm-hmm. actually added to Welds Tacos information.
Oh, really?
About welding.
Okay.
I don't know if I thought you were in the room. Maybe you went to the potty or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. We were inside. Maybe you were on the phone.
I was on the phone with my aunt.
On the phone.
Yeah. And playing therapist again.
Yeah. So Welds Taco did a great description of a bunch of different types of welding, GMAW, and mm-hmm. all that other stuff. Hustle Nuts had an addition to this.
Okay.
So he said that there's flux core welding, right? The mm-hmm. flux core style, which I think has
FCAW.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which has, and I'm going to butcher this. It has the wire has like the gases into it or something.
That's
like
what the
that.
Flux is essentially. Yeah. Yeah. As you burn it, it releases the gas.
The flux on
the
outside is shielding the wire on the inside, and mm-hmm. it's creating this gas or something along those lines, right?
Well, that's what flux is, I guess. Yeah. As it burns, it releases the gas to create the shielding gas for your welding.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's another version. And mm-hmm. if you want more information, go contact Hustle Nuts.
Yeah.
But he was saying that there's another version that has like a hard wire exterior and powdered wire interior.
Interesting.
So it's like a flux interior wire.
Is that the dual shielded wire?
Maybe.
Dual shield?
He said that it lays down more metal at the time. So when, because he works with a lot of very industrial strength,
big stuff,
big iron, you know, I-beams and stuff. And so they lay down these massive passes, and they use that kind of wire because it just dumps down more.
Oh, okay.
More metal at once, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
That's really all I got from his scientific knowledge of when he was explaining it. So if you want to know more about that specific type of welding, go hit up Hustle Nuts
on IG. That's Hustle Nuts.
Thank you.
Hustle nuts.
So Sunday you went up to the in-laws and dropped off a fur animal.
I did. We dropped off the intern and one of our cats. It was just funny because we weren't sure how that was going to work out.
Yeah.
Because we have two cats that are twins. They came from the same litter and they look identical.
Yeah.
And so we took one of them up to the in-laws and left the other one at home. And so we weren't sure how the one at the in-laws was going to do up there. And he's absolutely loving it. He's like in heaven.
Nice.
So we're halfway.
Unlike the intern.
He's not happy because he was like, I was going to get this time away from all the other animals and have my solo. I was going to be the only child for a week on this vacation. And now one of them came with him and he doesn't look too happy about it.
Yeah. So what are you doing with the other fur devils?
They're on an auto feeder. So we bought an auto feeder
that's
for
awesome.
Them. And then we had to train them how to use it because they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. So that took a long time to do. But they're on an auto feeder for the week. And then the in-laws are coming over a couple times, 3 or 4 times maybe, while we're gone to check on things.
To refill the auto feeder.
Refill the auto feeder, make sure that they're still alive. Because I'm pretty sure one of the cats, if left alone long enough, she would skin the other cat and run around wearing its face. Just FYI. So
Hannibal Lecter.
Kind of, yeah. She's a very Hannibal Lecter-esque feline. Yeah. So she's going to go over there and make sure that the animals are all still alive for us. And then Sunday night came back and dead tired still. I hadn't recovered from Saturday, so I went back to bed. And Monday came around and I had to go ship all of the Morflay orders. Mm-hmm.
By this time, I'm still hungover.
And you're still hungover, yeah.
Yeah, my entire Saturday was shot because I was hungover.
Yeah. And then Monday evening, Monday afternoon, I had to get just caught up with work as much as I could. And then Monday evening, I had to go travel and get the trailer from John and Renee because they have two trailers. So super nice of them to let me borrow the race car trailer to come out to Moab.
So jealous of that trailer.
Yeah.
That is the trailer I wanted.
Oh, really? It's longer than yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it has the long neck on it, too.
Yeah, I have a 16-footer. I think that one's an 18-footer. Mm-hmm. And then I have a 4-foot tongue, and I believe that one's the 5-foot tongue.
Gotcha. It's definitely like I didn't realize how much longer the tongue was until I looked at your tongue. And I was like, man, that's your tongue. You got a short tongue, dude.
Yeah.
So
I can touch my nose, though.
That's good. I can pet my eyebrows with my tongue.
Yeah.
Just have I can lick my eyebrows.
Is it the red-footed thing again? Are we coming back to that? What was her name? Catalina?
Catalina, yeah.
See, I just listened to the episode. I was drunk during that time. I would never remember this unless I listened to that episode.
Oh, man. So, I did that, got back in the late evening, and then had to pack everything because we were leaving and getting up at 4 a.m. the next morning and out the door 4:30. And so I got packed everything, got everything staged in the garage. Because now I'm like super OCD about leaving shit in my cars now. And so staged everything in the garage, woke up at 4 a.m., got dressed and threw it all in the rigs, put the 4Runner on the trailer the night before and parked it out in front of the house and threw it all in. And we were out of there by 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I slept at the assistant's house and woke up about 4-ish, drove to my house, did a little bit of final packing, went to the gas station and met you on the freeway just shortly after 5.
Yeah. That worked out really well, by the way.
Yeah.
It worked out better than I thought it was going to.
Big play to ham radios, right? Yeah. Because I think we were talking to each other on the repeater.
Mm-hmm.
Finding like, okay, yeah, you left. Where are you? Okay, here's where I am. Okay, I'm going to go to the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm leaving the gas station. Oh, yeah, we just passed the exit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hop on I'll just meet you on the freeway.
I literally passed the exit about a minute before you got on the freeway. So I just slowed down to like 50 miles an hour until you caught up, and then whoop, off we went. It worked out really smooth.
We went all the way to 55 here in California.
In California, yeah.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yep. But anyways, towing a trailer up Donner is that's interesting.
It's a huff.
That's a pull. Yeah.
Yeah. At that one point, I passed you pretty quick. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I was doing like 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But it was that really long stretch from, I don't know what, you know, but right up to the top. You get up, not almost to the top, you know, but it's just this massive hill up to, what is it, Nyack?
Nyack. And there's another Blue Ravine, yeah, something like that.
Just before Blue Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that hill's coming, and so I'm like, I need my momentum.
I need to go.
Yeah. But I found that truck will, it'll drop it out of overdrive down into third. Maybe it goes down to second. I don't think it's in second. It might be third. And it'll, at like 2,000 RPMs, it'll hold 60 miles an hour up that hill.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I was, at one point, I had the cruise control on, like all the way until we got outside of Auburn and we really started mm-hmm. climbing. And at one point, the cruise control knocked me down into second gear.
Yeah.
And I was redlining at 6,000 RPM, something like that. I was like, oh, that's bad. Wow. Let's not do that. That might be where I blew
the gasket.
When I blew my gasket. Yeah.
Maybe.
But anyway, so we made it up there. I mean, it did fine going up the hill. I was able to hold 55 miles an hour the whole way up until we got to Reno. No problem. But once we got to Reno.
Oh, that reminds me. We had another stop. Didn't we stop? We stopped in Truckee.
Oh, we did. I had to get gas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was trying to gauge it and just fill up my tank just enough to get to Reno. And I filled up my tank halfway thinking 15, 16 gallons would be enough. And, I ran out of gas pretty much. I was on low fuel warning by the time we got to Truckee.
Yeah.
And so I was just, that F-150 sucked up gas going up that hill. I probably got 1 mile a gallon, maybe two.
Maybe.
I was lucky. So,
negative, you were saying.
Yeah, negative gas mileage. But then we got up to Reno and got gas again, got breakfast in Reno at BJ's Barbecue.
Yeah, that place is so good.
It was so good. Highly recommend it. It's right next to the Four Wheel Parts.
That? Episode 10?
With Harry Wagner.
Episode 10.
Was it 10?
I think it was 10. I think he was our first interview.
Really? I thought Dirthead Dave was. We had Harry Dave after him.
So. Yeah, then you're right. So he was 20.
Yeah, so we met up with Harry Wagner for lunch at BJ's Barbecue on his recommendation. Then went back to his place to record. And so we were like, that place is really good. I wonder if they got good breakfast stuff. And they had some pretty damn good breakfast burritos.
I was stoked.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get the burrito. I got, I forgot what they called it, but we call it a nest, but it's where you pull the center of the piece of bread out and then you cook the egg in the middle of the bread.
Oh,
like
okay.
Yeah. Then you can flip it over and it cooks it. So then you literally, it's like a piece of toast, right?
Yeah. With an egg in
it. With an egg in the middle. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I was like, don't make it runny because I'm going to be on the road. Make sure it's well done.
Yeah.
You know, because if I cook it myself, I want it runny because I want to absorb the toast and, you know, eat that fetus.
Eat. Creepy. So too far, Jimmy.
High five. High five.
So we had breakfast at BJ's Barbecue and then shortly outside of Reno, after I got gas, after we gassed up and started taking off onto the freeway, I blew an engine code.
It was pulling out a Truckee to Reno.
That's what it was.
Yeah, because I brought my OBD2 reader.
Because mine was stolen.
Yep.
It was in my glove box. Bye-bye.
I think I said a while ago that I didn't think my truck had an OBD2 reader, and it does. I found where the location is. I plugged it in because I wanted to check out what my trans temp
Clifford?
Was. Clifford?
Clifford. Oh.
97.
Okay.
Yeah. It has an OBD2. And so I plugged it in because I wanted to watch what the trans temp was. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it doesn't have a temp sensor. that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I handed it over to Tyler and we played with it for a little while, in the parking lot to see and figure out what the code was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a turbo issue.
Turbo issue. Not producing boost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually due to it's not holding a vacuum, essentially. There's a blown gasket somewhere with the turbo. So after looking up the code and kind of reading through people's diagnostics of that
diagnoses code.
Was that exactly there's a gasket somewhere in the turbo feed or exhaust or something, wherever it is, that's blown now. So and they said that it's like you can't produce any boost over like 6 psi, like it doesn't hit 6 and you can't go anymore. And like that truck normally runs 12-13 boost, somewhere around there, PSI. So it was a very sluggish coming out and trying to accelerate onto freeways and accelerate up hills or do anything. The truck just did not want to do it. And so we pretty much drove the whole way from essentially Truckee to Moab with no turbo boost. I was watching it, never got over 5.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Yeah, I never got over 5 PSI on the boost. So, now I got something to fix with the Ford, and I blame going into second gear.
Yeah,
and going to 6,000-7,000 RPMs.
Now that you're revisiting life, yeah, that makes sense. I think that's a possibility for sure.
Mm-hmm. Those things get hot.
Yeah,
they get fucking hot when you run them at high RPMs.
Definitely. So from Reno, we actually made it all the way to Elko.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good stretch. It was over 200 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had gas to spare, but we figured here's a good spot.
Yep.
We pulled in there and we filled up gas again. And then you had to send a Morflate out to somebody.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This guy, he has a trip coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was really, really hoping to get this. And I felt bad for him. I hate when people go out on trips and they don't have their Morflate. It just sucks. Yeah. Like I hate going on it. I won't go wheeling if I don't have a Morflate because I'm just like, I don't want to air down my tires. I just hate it. And so I ended up putting together a kit very last minute. I went back to the warehouse Monday night after getting the trailer, stopped at the warehouse on the way home, put together an extra kit for him, and then brought it home, printed up the label, set it for 2-day air for him. And then I was like, if I can get it out before leaving, I will do it. If not, I'll drop it off somewhere between Sacramento and Moab, and you should see it by Thursday or Friday. And he goes, oh my God, that is you. That's totally, you don't have to do that. And I was like, no, absolutely I have to. You need your kits for this weekend. So
yeah.
I had this one last box, one last kit, and in Elko found a little hole in the wall shipping store, like mail postage store, which doubled as a wedding store, by the way.
Oh,
I walked in, there was wedding dresses and prom dresses on one side, tuxedos on another side, and then their shipping packaging area was in the back of the place. I was like, this is a really interesting combination, but okay.
Yeah. They ship wedding dresses.
Yeah, or maybe.
Yeah.
So ran in there, dropped off the box, and went on going. So I haven't checked the tracking to see if it's made it down there or if it, where it is, but
yeah. Hopefully well, you're nicer than me. I just put a banner on the Snail Armor website saying, I'm going to be out of town this week and you can order, but I ain't shipping.
Yeah, right.
I'll send it on Monday.
Yeah. I'm too nice. I don't know. But it got out and hopefully he'll get to it or it'll get to him and hopefully he'll get to enjoy his Morflate for the weekend here. Yeah, so, yeah. But we got that out. So that was nice. Made that stop, drove through Elko. Yep. And then
very headed on. Nice city.
Very nice little town right on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
And then we headed off.
Getting off the freeway at Elko was funny.
Dude, that was getting. Yeah.
It was like construction zone with like a little exit, and they had like cut out 4 or 5 inches of the freeway.
So you come off of the freeway at 50 miles an hour or whatever, 40, 55 is in that construction zone, and you jump off of this 5-inch.
Yeah.
Drop off of the pavement onto a dirt, like hard packed dirt, but dirt nonetheless.
Right.
And so we're towing these trailers with rigs on them. I'm like, oh man, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. They had a nice little ramp on the other side
there, getting to back go on. Up. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I figured they just, well, you can drop off right. 5 inches.
Yeah.
Anybody can clear the curb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we went from Elko over to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we went all made it the rest of the way.
It was really cool driving through the Bonneville Salt Flats.
We stopped at the rest stop.
Oh, was that before Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Okay. And we did stop at a rest stop. And just because we had to pee and there was like, we were going through and there was like nothing around. So we need to pull off on this rest stop.
It was nice to stretch.
Yeah.
I think at that point I was getting tired of just being behind the wheel and just hopping out real quick. And it was getting a little chilly, getting hit by the wind. And just moving around a little bit just woke you back up.
Yeah. You know? While we were there, we just kind of went through our checks and checked with the thermometers and was, you know, checking the wheel hubs and brakes to make sure nothing's on fire, you know. And two of my tires were 30 degrees hotter than my other two tires.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going and checking the PSIs, the trailer tires, and checked the PSIs in the trailer. The trailer is supposed to be at about 65 PSI on all four tires. And one was at 65. The other three were at like 50, like 48 to 50. And so, yeah, I pulled out the Morflate, hooked it up to the 4Runner. Wasn't one at
like 30? No, it was at 50.
Is that 50?
Yeah, I remember I read it upside down. And I was like, is this at 30? And you're like, no, it's 50. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
And so we just took out the Morflate, plugged it into my onboard air on the 4Runner, aired up the trailer tires, which took 2 minutes, something like that, because they're tiny.
Tiny tires.
I was like, man, it's nice to have tiny tires.
Well, that reminds me, too, before I left, I checked the tires on my trailer, and I had one tire. They were all at 65, and I had one tire that was at 60.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to pull out the Morflate, and I'll just hook them up, but I won't need a compressor. I'll just let it equalize.
Let it equalize?
Yeah. So maybe all of the tires are at 64 now?
Yeah, 63 and a half, 64, something like that.
You know? And so that was really nice to be able to like just hook the hook all the wheels together and let them just sit there for a second.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Nice. Yeah, it's a really cool. I'm still impressed with that thing, even though I'm like... It's mine, but like I'm still impressed with it and all the stuff that it does. So, so we did that. We stopped there. We went into we hit Salt Lake City.
Also, I found something weird with my trailer again. The one hub that I tore apart was at 90-ish degrees. Two of the other hubs were around 90-ish degrees. One hub was at like 75.
Yeah. Okay.
Must be a shit ton of grease in there.
A lot of grease in that one.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. Like, why is that one low? Like, what's wrong with it? No, and from there we cruised on, made it to Salt Lake City.
It snowed on us.
It snowed on us before we hit Elko.
Oh, was it that early?
Yeah.
Okay.
What were you doing?
I don't know what I'm doing with life right now. Okay. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. before we got to Salt Lake City, we went through the Bonneville Salt Flats.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
That was neat. We came over the pass there and you just come over the pass and it's poof.
It's just white.
Miles of white.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? I said it audibly to the secretary. And she goes, I don't know. And then literally less than five seconds, you come over there and you're like, welcome to the Bonneville Salt Flats. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It was really neat driving through there. So I really, really, really want to get back and go make a trip to the Salt Flats during race week.
Yes. We should make a trip to the Salt Flats and then do a crawl off.
Or just a drag in the crawlers.
We could put, what we should do is how many miles? Did they do 5 miles in the race?
No clue. No idea.
We should put our trucks in the slowest gear possible and see how long it takes to go to those 5 miles.
Okay. We could probably just do the math on that.
I want them to start the damn timer.
Do it at race week. They would be so pissed at us. We would take up like 3 days of the fucking week.
I'm like, I'm in fifth gear.
I'm at 5,000 RPMs. Yeah.
You guys, you're like 10 feet off the start line. You're DQ'd.
Get out of here, you guys. Dumbasses, fucking snail trail guys. Yeah. You get permanent ban for life from race week.
I'm like, I left a trail in the salt. But snails don't like salt.
We can leave a trail of bubbles behind us. There you go.
So it has the snails melting.
Oh, Jesus.
Fun. It's pretty. It's really interesting. I think one of the last, I don't know if the last time I drove through there was wet, so it wasn't like it wasn't the salty.
Yeah, look. It's not like that shine and shimmer you see over everything. Yeah.
It's weird how when you look over it, if you look out in the distance, it looks like there's water out there.
Oh, yeah, totally. You'd think it's just a big old body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you realize that it's close, it's just sandy. Mm-hmm. Did you notice there was tracks, like people would drive off the freeway?
And through the middle
and back up. And did you see the ones that would... people would drive off the freeway and then make it like 30 feet.
And there would be no there's a big old hole there. Yeah, I noticed those. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I saw a few of those. I was laughing. There was a rest stop there. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people that just like drove out onto the salt flats from that area.
Yeah, so I saw that.
That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That was fun. And then we went on and we hit the Great Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. Just before you get into Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. which is pretty interesting to see. Unfortunately, it's really hard to see the actual Mormon temple, from the freeway. But if you, the Mormon temple is actually a really pretty building.
I've heard. Yeah.
I think it's under construction right now.
Do they shoot you with a sniper if you drink coffee on the grounds?
I don't know.
Just wondering.
I'm not Mormon.
Asking for a friend.
I think you're allowed to visit, to go into some of the temple.
That'd be awesome if there was like a Starbucks right across the street from the Mormon temple.
I know there's a temple in Folsom. Uh-huh. And you're there, like you can go into like... the entry.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, that's all
then
they're
you're like. Then you have to be Mormon to go into the rest.
Gotcha.
Or you're not even Mormon. You have to be like, they have some weird rules. I have a few Mormon friends and it's fun to try and figure out that
system. How that all works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but they're great people.
Yeah.
so we stopped just before, or just, yeah, really right before the heart of Salt Lake City.
Okay. Sorry, I just came up with a joke. It's really inappropriate for this podcast, though.
So we got gas just before Salt Lake City, right before the heart of Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Which I'm really glad we did that, by the way, after driving through Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Because I was so used to driving through, you know, two lanes Nevada. Going in one direction, Nevada and Utah, with nobody else around. Which, by the way, the secretary and I figured out that Highway 80 was only put in to connect all the prisons along the way. So
it's probably true.
another prison. Yeah. Oh, hey, look, another prison.
Well, it's Nevada, so it's like might as well just fence the whole damn state in.
No, that's Australia. That's what Australia is for.
No, that was an island, but
yeah.
And then the secretary chose an awesome place that we had dinner.
She did.
That was a really, fantastic. Really cool spot. What was it called? Gourmet Sliders?
It was Marley's Gourmet Sliders. Mm-hmm.
They were okay. They were good.
They're decent.
Mm-hmm. I asked for a recommendation and I got a 50-50 thing, but, the one of them was great. One of them was mediocre. Mm-hmm. But it was attached to, so the person that owned the slider shop also owns a Harley Davidson business.
It's like a Harley store service center.
Yeah.
For Harleys. Yeah.
And we like walked into this, the restaurant and we order and I went and got a drink and I look and they have like this warehouse or this workshop for motorcycles.
Yeah.
And it was like awesome looking.
Probably had 12, 15 bays for motorcycles with workbenches and toolboxes and motorcycle lifts and a lot of really cool stuff. And I just remember you turned back and you're like, I need a shop like that.
It was cool looking.
Yeah.
That's just like some heritage stuff, neon up, you know, just old rustic banners and, you know, things on the wall. It was really rad looking spot. And then we get our drinks and we turn and look at like the sales room and there's these crazy cars in there.
Crazy looking cars in there. Yeah.
And we're like, what? And I like talked to the lady. I'm like, are we allowed to bring our food in there? And she's like, I think so. And the secretary is like, I'll just wait for the food. And we're like, okay. And Tyler and I like skip
run off
hand. Frolic quickly into this the sales room and we just strike up a conversation with the guys working there about the cars and what they were. Mm-hmm. And they were cool. They were like a three-wheeled car.
Mm-hmm.
Had a GM 2-liter four-cylinder motor, supercharged, that made 200 horsepower.
Mm-hmm. And each car probably weighs maybe 1,000 pounds.
Maybe 1,000 pounds. Yeah. And it was, they're super sleek, really cool. What were they called? The Vanderhalls or something. Yeah,
Vanderhall.
Like that.
Yep.
They were rad looking.
Yeah, check those things out. That would be a lot of fun to just have to drive around town. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. So BS'd with the guys there for a little while, and then we left, and right as we were walking out, they shut the door.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they were probably closed and they forgot to lock that door. Maybe. And we came through and yeah. They were like, oh man,
yeah,
these jackasses are coming in after we're closed.
Yeah. I think they found, like, we were,
it worked out well.
Yeah.
We softened them up quick.
Pretty much. And then ate our sliders, which were 50-50 for me, but they were great. They were good. Just had one that was all right. Then we took off out of Salt Lake City, headed south on the 15, went to jump on the 6, and then it started downpouring.
Like, yeah, not just downpouring, but down, like it was flooding.
What did I hear? I heard it described as Noah's Ark downpour or something.
Yeah,
Noah's something like Ark that. Timed rain or themed rain. Yeah, it was gnarly.
It was crazy. And the roads in Utah do not have reflectors on them.
Right.
Like, so we're from California. We're used to, you know, fair weather roads. Without, apparently, we learned, which makes a hell of a lot of sense now that we think about it. You know, we don't have a ton of snowplows in California, so reflectors can stay on roads. They don't get ripped off by snowplows, yeah. Unlike a lot of other places in the country. And Utah is one of those places where they have to plow their roads very often. So none of the roads have reflectors.
Right.
And when it's raining at night,
yeah. And you're with headlights coming at you and your headlights mm-hmm. pointing at them and water mm-hmm. on the road and mist up in the air from the semi truck that passed you mm-hmm. a second ago going the opposite way. You can't see the road.
You can't see shit. Yeah.
I slowed down and let somebody pass me because we were at a decent ways apart at this point. I slowed down to let somebody pass me just so I could have their taillights in front of me. Yeah. So I knew where the road went.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a couple times when there was one time coming out of a construction, going through a construction zone. Then there was another time there's this really sweeping turn. Yeah. That's when I called you on the radio because uh-huh. I came out of the turn and all of a sudden right at the end of this turn, and it's a freeway. You're in two lanes and there's no warning that the right-hand lane is an off-ramp yeah. at the end of this turn. So you can't see at night, especially at nighttime in the rain, you can't see that at the end of this turn, the right-hand lane is an off-ramp. And so I was kind of in the right-hand lane and all of a sudden I get there and I bolted over super quick. And I don't think I hit anything, but like I would not be surprised if I ran over a couple cones, coming through there. And then I was like, hey, Jimmy, just FYI on this turn coming up, stay in the left-hand lane.
Yeah. And I was literally in the middle of the lane, like taking that corner when you called.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was perfect. Yeah. And I was watching the white line, the solid white mm-hmm. line on the side of the road. I'm mm-hmm. like, I know this is the edge of the road. Right. So if I stay on this side of that line, I'll be good.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going around. And you're like, by the way, at the end of that is an off ramp. And I look up and it's the road's like, you know, splitting in front of me. I'm like, oh damn, I need to get over. Yeah. And I want to point, or I want to just say that both of us have good windshield wipers on mm-hmm. and you have better headlights, but Clifford's headlight, I put new bulbs in Clifford's mm-hmm. headlights just recently too, because mm-hmm. one of them were burnt out or was burnt out. So I had the best headlights. I really, for the most part, I had the best stock headlights that you yeah. could get with new wiper blades, and you have good headlights and you had great
wipers. Pretty new wiper blades too. Yeah. And I still was... what's the stuff you put on your windshield?
Rain-X.
So some of the Rain-X was still kind of taking effect from when I put it on back in December.
Nice.
And so like when it was raining lightly, I could tell that it would just go bloof and yeah. fly off.
Nobody was hitting it.
Yeah. But during that downpour, you couldn't see shit. It was
yeah. There was a point like when it was starting, I was on the phone with the assistant and I said, this is, I need to let you go because this is really hard driving right now. And I yeah. can't like be just bullshitting on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, and listening to you and trying to concentrate on keeping myself alive.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, okay, call me later.
Yeah. My windows on Kermit were cracked open when we threw the snowstorm. the snow part. So after that, I rolled them up, and I'm really, really, really happy I did that.
Yeah, right as we were leaving the gourmet sandwich place, we had a few drops hit us, and that's when I went and checked Bobcats.
Yeah.
And they were all up, so that was good. But yeah, but once we got through the rain...
Once we got through the rain, there's like a pass. You just come out, and all of a sudden you just drop downhill into Moab.
Kind of, yeah.
And so right when that descent started happening, it was like the rain went away.
And it just was stars poof, out.
Just gone.
But there was lightning still happening off on the side. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool. But yeah, as soon as the rain went up, it was really easy to see the lines.
The
It was quite amazing.
Yeah,
and so then for the most part, we cruised down into Moab from there, pretty uneventful. There's some construction happening on, I don't know what side that is, the east side of the Moab, northeast side of Moab. And so we had to, didn't pause us anyways, but we had to go into the other side of the road and then go back to our side of the road and then go to the other side of the road. Then we made it out to the house, which is the Airbnb, which is really nice.
It's a really, really nice Airbnb. I've been very pleasantly surprised with it.
Yeah, definitely. So, the neighbors didn't like us when we pulled up much.
I pulled into the wrong, so it's a duplex Airbnb, right? And so there's two driveways right next to each other, but there's no lights on outside. So you can't tell what the address is for either one of the duplexes. And so I just pulled into one of the driveways, figuring I had a 50-50 chance. I was wrong.
Yeah.
So I've got my headlights on. I'm trying to figure out which duplex is what. And the people, I could see them looking through the window. And I'm like, well, we're definitely in the wrong driveway. But now I need to figure out how do I get 10 feet over to my left into the correct driveway with a trailer and everything on and having to back out of here. So, they ended up coming outside as I was backing out of the driveway, and they're kind of looking at and just looked very confused. And I was like, sorry. And they just kind of like, he just kind of like shrugged and kind of laughed a little and turned around and went back inside, and they turned off all their lights. And I'm assuming they went to bed. I don't know.
But. Yeah. They like quickly shut the house up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had to unload and moved a few things around, and we didn't unload the trailers then, but we had moved a bunch of stuff into the house, and we went to bed pretty promptly.
It was 10:30.
Yeah,
when we got here, so I left my house at 4:30. Mm-hmm. We arrived in Moab at 10:30.
Yep. So you guys can do so that math.
16 hours.
16 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was a long day, and that's one of the reasons we're tired today.
Yeah.
But we woke up. This morning, and unloaded and prepped the vehicles and went over to the area where everybody's meeting, and they're doing check-ins, and hung out there, and we did an interview with the chairman of the Land Cruiser event.
Cruise Moab. It's late. We're tired. Yeah, we got to do an interview with him this morning as I was pulling the 4Runner off. This morning was the first time I really went through the 4Runner to see what was actually still in it.
Yeah.
This morning was the first time I actually had time to sit down and do that. So I did that here in Moab at the Airbnb.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of took a semi-quick mental list of everything that wasn't in the 4Runner. And I was like, all right, well, Jimmy and my dad have stuff, so
yeah,
we'll be good, hopefully.
What I thought was funny is when we went to go to hang out and we went into the room, we were standing there and talking to a few people, and then people were honking their horns.
Oh, yeah.
And Tyler and I are like, uh-oh.
Do we need to have horns for tech inspection? What is this? I didn't remember reading that anywhere.
Yeah. And Tyler and I both don't have horns.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, we'll just go beep, beep.
Or, yeah. Hey. Roll down a window. Beep, beep.
Yep. So that was kind of funny, but... it was super windy today. I'm hoping it's not nearly as windy tomorrow.
It should be pretty nice the rest of the week from what the weather apps say. Fun thing, we ran into quite a few people.
Yeah.
One guy ran into, I kind of made the joke, half joking, but not, is that he's from Roseville, near Rockland, between you and me in the Sacramento area. And I've met him before. He came over and bought a Morphlite. And that was before we had the warehouse set up. So he came to my house, picked it up. I talked with him a little bit, got to see his truck. He has a first gen 4-door Tacoma, solid axle swapped, with the WFO kit. And, I watched the taco drive in. I was like, I think I know that truck.
Yeah.
Like, that truck looks really familiar. And the guy stepped out and I was like, I think I know that guy, but his mask is on. I can't tell. And then after he got registered and checked in, he immediately took a beeline right at us. And I was like, okay, that's him.
Yeah.
And so I just walked up. I was like, hey, what's going on? He goes, hey, how's it going? I was like, it's funny. We have to travel 850 miles to go wheeling together.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we met him, Brian, and
Adam.
Thank you.
Brian and Adam.
And then Josh.
And Josh. Yep.
Yep. Josh is the one with the long travel Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's from Denver area,
third
Colorado.
Third gen pickup.
Yep, the pre Tacoma.
He was stoked about it.
Yeah.
Then he saw mine. He got stoked too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ran into those guys, talked with them for a little bit. We got to a really cool interview with Matt Farr, the chairman for Cruise Moab this year, and probably for the next 3.5 years. You have to listen to that episode to get that one.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday's episode. We met Andy, who is not your mom's LX450.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Yep, who's a listener of the podcast, so great to meet him.
Yep. So
you met the guy that did tech inspection?
Yeah, the guy that did my tech inspection owns a Morphlate. And so he was like, after we got registered and everything, he led us through tech inspection, checked everything off, and then they were getting ready to close up, and we were getting ready to take off, and he goes, wait, are you guys the Morphlate guys? I was like, well, yeah. And he goes, oh my God, I love it. And I have one. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We met a guy named Kit.
Kit, that guy, we need to get him on the podcast. Yes. I think he would be entertaining.
Yeah, I think so.
So explain how we met Kit.
Yeah. So I think it was, first off, you got excited that there was another second gen 4Runner coming into the park.
I did. I was, because you know, the longest time I was like, I think I'm going to be the only second gen 4Runner at this entire event.
And then and then it was getting towed.
It was getting towed.
And it was being towed by a 60 series Land Cruiser. And we're like, wow, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. How did that do?
And then he started throttling up because he saw some friends, and it was whistling at us.
It was whistling very loud and very deep gurgly, too. Yeah.
And then somebody said, what do you have in there? And what did he yell out his window?
Six BT
Land Cruiser.
6BT Land Cruiser.
Which is 12, so cool.
12 valve 6BT Cummins Land Cruiser. Oh man, it was pretty hilarious to see.
We were sitting down to record the interview for the Matt Farr.
The intro to the interview. Intro. Yep.
Yeah. And we immediately hit stop. Because he started his second gen 4Runner.
Starts the second gen 4Runner.
And it doesn't sound like a second gen 4Runner.
And I'm like, all right, what the hell does this guy got going on? That's not a 3.0. It's not a 22RE. And I started sitting there for a minute and I was like, it kind of sounds like a straight piped 3.4.
Yeah, you said that.
And I was like, but it kind of, but not really. And I was like, all right, we just hit stop. We got to go talk to this guy.
We're going to have to re-record that intro. But yeah, so we could walk over there and like, they kind of look at us and we're like, we want to see the 6BT.
Yeah.
And then they totally opened up.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys knew us.
He was a listener of the podcast. He was a listener
of the podcast as well and knew us. I can't remember his name.
I want to say it was, started with a D. Like
Damon, Devin, Dane,
something like that. We're just going to go with one of those three. So,
And we apologize. Met a lot of people today too.
Yeah.
But everybody warmed up and we started asking him about the engine and setting it up. And then we were like, what's in the 4Runner? And he's like, oh, it's a 3.4.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like,
So and I looked under.
Yeah.
He has a cherry bomb muffler on it, cherry bomb exhaust. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Pretty much a straight bike.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was funny. And he was like, you guys can drive the Land Cruiser if you want. Just shoot a video.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But then we went, because then your father showed up. Then we had to go through tech. And then we had to take off for the most part because they were closing down.
Yeah, they kind of kicked us out.
Yeah.
So we took off and went to Moab Brewery. So we went there for lunch and then went there for dinner.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Great food. They do have really good food
there. So I was suppressed. I was suppressed.
You were surprised and impressed.
Surprised and impressed. Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad that somebody's on the same wavelength here. I thought they would have better beer selection. for being a brewery.
You mean you were depressed?
I was depressed. Well, I was impressed in a bad way. Negative impressed.
Yeah, they aren't. I remember going 2 years ago and being like, okay, it's mediocre beer.
Mm-hmm.
Their food's good.
The food's really good, though. Mm-hmm. It was really good. So,
plus, they were out of three of the things that we wanted.
True. That is also true. I was like, oh, you guys got this? We're out. Okay, what about this one? We're out. All right, I'll just take this one. Oh, we're out of that one, too. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. You call yourself a brewery?
Right?
Maybe you guys should brew.
They haven't got restocked from Easter Jeep Safari. They cleaned them out.
Yeah, maybe, probably, huh? And then BFE.
Yeah, and then BFE, too. So, yeah, so we went there lunch and dinner, and then went to the marketplace, grabbed dinner and food and lunch and breakfast stuff for the week. And
the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm. Should be pretty cool. So, yeah.
And tomorrow...
Tomorrow, what's on the plan for this week?
What time is it? 9 a.m.?
I think it's 9 a.m.
9 a.m.?
We got Hell's Revenge tomorrow, and then we're assuming that's going to be a relatively short day in terms of trail ride days, so we're going to try and do something else in the afternoon. We haven't decided what yet.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to go up to Poison Spider Mesa.
Okay.
And kind of go check that out up there. But I don't know. We'll see what time allows for. And then we also want to do a night run at some point on Fins and Things.
Yep.
Just because... it's not really a difficult trail at all, and during the day you kind of see everything, but because it's just a bunch of like small ledges, we're thinking nighttime might make it a little more interesting.
Driving. Fins and Things is a level 4.
Mm-hmm. Out of 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're thinking that doing it at nighttime might be a little more interesting because you're just going to be driving off of ledges at night where you're like, I don't know if I can see the ground.
Getting a little lost.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. We're going to try and do that. Thursday, that was Thursday. Friday,
mm-hmm.
We're going to go do Top of the World.
Yep.
Check out the views up there. That'll be fun. Just really gorgeous and scenic. So I'm really excited for that one. And then Saturday, what are we doing Saturday?
Saturday, we're doing Cane Creek, which is going to be a good one that all three of us haven't done that one, including your dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. It's not a super difficult trail, but it is going to be one of the more difficult ones that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And that one's being led by our interviewee today. Mm-hmm. So Matt. So Matt will be leading that run. Brian's going to be on that run with Josh and Adam as well. So that should be a pretty fun run, I think.
I think so as well.
Yeah. And then, that's our plan. And we're going to load up the trailers Saturday night and get out of here really early on Sunday. The nice thing, though, that I didn't take into the consideration coming out here is the time change.
Yeah.
So technically, we arrived here at 10:30, but it was only like 15 hours thinking about it.
Yes.
Because of the time change. So going back, we'll lose an hour, gain an hour, whatever it is.
Lose an hour.
So instead of getting here at 10:30, it'll be like 9:30 or 8:30 when we get back. So,
true that.
Yeah, we'll get back earlier. Look at you, man. You're just destroying everything over here.
I did nothing.
Prove it. You have no proof. Uh-huh. There's no video associated with this.
Professional podcaster here. Just went with the flow.
Nice. So, yeah, that's our plan. That's our trip. That's our last week of extreme chaos before getting out here and leading up to Moab here. So, hope you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you get to live vicariously through us and not repeat what we did getting out here and, packing extreme last minute for everything and not have stuff to pack in the first place and, make sure that life can continue for a week without you while you're not home. And, so
I think the name of the game is going to be, what did we forget?
I think so. I think we did pretty damn good, though, for everything going on.
I think so.
I think we're going to be pretty good. So
I think that I love my tote system.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah.
That just being able to throw the totes in there and be like, okay, I got 85% of everything packed.
Yeah.
What are the last few things that I need?
Yeah.
It really helps.
The cool thing that came out of this, the stuff being stolen out of the 4Runner, is we've been talking about putting together a trail kit of tools that we can put up on the Snail Trail website as like, hey, you need a trail kit. We've put together the most efficient and proficient trail toolkit for off-roading.
Yes.
And so we're now going to build that kit. Because I don't have trail tools anymore. So
we need to get you some.
We need to get some. And so we're just going to take the opportunity to build that kit and see, you know, if we're going to build this kit from scratch, what are stuff you need? What are things you don't need? What tools can you interchange to do multiple stuff with? So you take the least amount of tools on the trail, but can do the most amount of repairs.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, without going too far down this as a rabbit hole, is, you know, when we start doing this, what do we want to call it? Test?
Test? Toolkit test?
No. Trail kit test? I mean, like, this lesson, this challenge, whatever it is, whenever we go about actually trying to create this, it's going to, the kit is going to encompass 80% of what everybody needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be random stuff out there that you're going to need for your build. Yeah,
vehicle specific
like
stuff.
You know, people that have full width axles don't need a 54 millimeter socket.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're driving the Toyota, you're going to need a 54 millimeter socket if you got the mini truck axles.
Or Land Cruiser axles.
Or Land Cruiser axles. Mm-hmm. You know, but those are going to be omitted from the toolkit.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like sockets, wrenches, screwdrivers, pliers, what?
Yeah, what some electrical things, kind of stuff like that. So, yeah, it should be really cool. Breaker bars, a couple pry bars, whatever it is. So, seal pullers for the trail, dead blows, punches, drifts.
I think you're overkilling it right now.
No, you need it all.
No, you don't.
I have needed all of those at some point on a trail.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we're going to be doing that. I'm going to take the opportunity to finally build a drawer system in the back of Kermit, and that is all going to be built into the cab.
Yeah, you didn't.
So it's going to be anti-theft now. You're not going to be able to steal my shit anymore.
Do you want to give the robbers some accomplishments, actually?
I don't know. Yes and no, just because I am really impressed by it, but at the same time, like, fuck you guys. You took one of my slippers and you broke my window without using that window to get in the vehicle. They did something that I thought was physically impossible. I thought that by the laws of physics, it could not be done. They stole my toolbox with all my tools in it without unloading it by picking it up over my back seat and getting it out the rear doors of the 4Runner, the passenger doors, like the regular open and closed doors, because my tailgate has to open. You can't open the tailgate unless the window's down.
Right.
You can only roll down the window using the key. Like the key, there has to be in the ignition.
Right.
And use the switch on the center console, or you have to have the key in the outside of the tailgate using the turnkey.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't open up my tailgate to pull that toolbox out. That toolbox alone with nothing in it weighed 100, 120 pounds.
Really? Yeah. That much?
Yes.
Holy cow.
And with all the tools and everything, I'm guessing it weighed 250 to 300 pounds.
Dang.
They lifted it up over my back seats because you can't fold my back seats down, or one of them. And so they lifted it up over my back seat. They disconnected my subwoofer, moved it out of the way, and then left it in the vehicle. They didn't take the subwoofer. and they took my Bluetooth radio. That I'm pissed about because I was really wanting to use that out here for the APRS stuff. But they got my toolbox with all my tools out without unloading it, emptying the toolbox out of the car through the back doors.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
I also want to say that they took the important items out of the vehicle.
The important items?
Mm-hmm. And left the subwoofer.
Yeah. I mean, no. Come on.
They took the things that they could, you know, that they wanted and that they found valuable and other people find valuable.
Obviously. I mean, yeah. They took all my fluids.
Mm-hmm.
They took my bottle jack. They left all my recovery equipment.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Except for the dead man. The dead man off-road. They took that. Yep.
Huh.
They left my shop towels, my oil rags.
They left
my tarps.
Yeah.
They left
the stereo in the head unit.
They left the stereo in the head unit.
Yeah.
And they left my head unit for my ham radio, the ICOM, which is really weird because that's like not even technically attached to anything. So they left that. They took one of my ham radios, left the other one, even though they sit right next to each other in the same spot. So I don't know. I'm just, I don't get it, but okay. No. It made no rhyme or reason. Took one of my slippers, left the other one.
Yeah, that's so bizarre.
They did empty my glove box in my center console, though. They took everything from those two locations.
Really?
Yeah, so I have no flashlights in the vehicle anymore.
Oh, no.
No headlamps, no flashlights. And you know how I am with flashlights. Yeah. So that's what, like, one of my fetishes.
Yeah, stereo and lights.
Yeah, I know, right? They left the stereo. They just disconnected the subwoofer on me, so I had to go put it back and reconnect it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as they left the AC intact, though. I was very happy that they left the air conditioning intact, so I was able to use that today.
Yes. Excellent.
Oh, man. So anyways, we're going to go wheeling for the next few days.
Yes, we are.
And then we will update you all on the trip, how everything was, how the ride back to California is on next Thursday's episode. So until then, make sure you check out Monday's episode, because that's going to have the interview with Matt Farr, chairman of Cruise Moab. There's some really cool tidbits in there about the way Cruise Moab is kind of evolving right now. And just the event in and of itself on a normal year, and on how this year is as well. So some pretty cool stories coming out from that one on Monday. Check out the reviews on iTunes. We're giving away a winch once we hit 500 reviews. So make sure you guys go ahead and leave your reviews over there at iTunes. Make sure that it is iTunes. I'm going to say it one more time. Has to be on iTunes for that. Just because there's a lot of different things in the podcasting world that goes off of iTunes stats and data. So it's got to be over there. So not Spotify, not who's the other one?
Stitcher,
thank you. Yep. None of those.
Google Podcasts. Not
Google Podcasts, not Pandora, not radio.com. Although I believe we're on all those platforms. I don't know about Pandora. They never got back to us. But yeah, make sure you're going to leave the reviews. You get a free winch, or a chance at a free winch. There's the gift box tier that's open. There's the giveaway that's happening. Next month's giveaway is lined up. We've got stuff lined up for next time's gift box. And we may have some clues about tokens.
True that. And if you have any questions for us, you can always email us, Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4. You can find Tyler if you want to ask questions about thefts and radios and AM FM radios.
Yeah.
At 4x4 Toyota Tyler on Instagram, and I'm snailtrail4x4 on Instagram as well.
Awesome. And then if you guys have any complaints about anything, or you're looking for where Lorenzo is, email Jason and Chris at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, or reach out to Charles and Aaron over on Instagram. They have found Lorenzo in Australia. So
yeah,
find those two guys. Hashtag where's Lorenzo? So he's still Australia, missing, apparently. Apparently, yeah, he's in Australia. I don't know. He gained some weight. He's eating a little too much Vegemite rounder down there. Yeah. So, still no update or news on Lorenzo, unfortunately. But we'll keep our ears open. If you guys do hear anything, let us know, please. We're still looking for him. So hopefully he's in one piece, preferably. And with that, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody?
Yes, I do.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
Red dirt. I got one for you.
Okay.
Have you ever seen an elephant hiding in a tree?
I feel like I've heard this one. No.
It's because they're really good at it.
I have heard that. I have heard that one.